Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week, Esther Wow, as Chelsea beat the champions Liverpool 2-1 at home. I'm Craig and I'm joined by my good friend Brady, and graciously, Liverpool fans Jack and Jamie Elwood have also joined us for this collaboration pod. Welcome to you guys.
Bonjour, happy to be here. Done a few of these now. I think this is the first one where it's following a Chelsea victory, so shoes on the other foot this time.
Yeah, I mean, this might be payback for the times. I don't know if we did the times where we did the FA Cup and the League Cup final where we lost on penalties, but it was nice to get a bit of revenge, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm begrudgingly here after the loss. No, only joking. I'm happy to come on. We've had it. The good side last time I've been on, so yeah, got to balance it out by coming on, sticking up for the boys when we lose.
I've got to say, Chelsea actually, I think that is now 5 unbeaten at Stamford Bridge against Liverpool at home. It potentially is a little bit of a bogey ground for you guys. The matches always do tend to be quite tight. I know, the finals, you guys have come up better. But yeah, I think Chelsea in general do tend to show up against Liverpool, definitely performance-wise. As I mentioned, 2-1 in the game. 53% possession to 47% for Chelsea. 1 expected goal to 1.95 expected goals for Liverpool. Expected goals don't always tell the entire story of the game. And I don't think so in this case, for sure. Brady, let's get some likes and dislikes, starting with you.
I mean, like is just, we got over the line versus a team that's called Arsenal, Man City or Liverpool. That's the first time we've beaten. I mean, I'm not counting the Liverpool 3-1 last year because you guys were deep in the hangover trench, right? I mean, that wasn't a real game. I mean,
they're still hungover now, aren't they?
That was the first time that we've beat any of those teams since August 2021. If you can believe that. That was when Lukaku scored for us and I think Reece James scored for us at the Emirates. I think that's when Arsenal had Pablo Mari at the back. But yeah, I mean, it's been 4 years, basically, for like a proper, against like a top four team other than ourselves, really. So yeah, it's massive. And it's a good feeling, man. Just that's what it was. It was almost like a bit of relief that we can get over the line. And we've had a few wins versus Man United recently, but I mean, that's not really much to write home about these days. So yeah, it was just relief to get over the line versus a big team and domestically.
Yeah, my like is just a statement win. I think this is Maresca's statement win in the Premier League. I can't think of any other situations where it's even really close to this. This is, you know, a big win against a big team, especially away games. You know, Maresca, the results have not been there, even though the performances and a few of the games have been there, the results haven't. And yeah, just to get over the line, like you say, and with the 95th minute winner is just fantastic. And also just with the team we had out, you know, so yeah, lots and lots of positives. Have you got a dislike for me?
Have Jack and Jamie got any likes from the game? Not really. Probably not, right?
Nothing. Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Maybe it wouldn't even go as far as to say it is a like, but if I was absolutely pressed, could say that we were playing with our second choice keeper and he did okay.
Yeah.
Remember, that's really...
Yeah.
Which that probably sums it up. If that's what we're coming away from the game as a like, sums up the performance really.
Yeah, he did. The game didn't look too big for him, considering he's quite a young keeper. Well, young for a goalie. I know he's like 25, but and obviously that's his first start. I think yeah, he gave a decent account of himself. Don't think you can blame him for Caicedo's goal for sure.
He got a hand to it.
Yeah, I think he got a touch to it, didn't he?
First he did. Yeah.
Any dislikes, Brady?
I mean, dislikes, I actually wrote this and then listened to the presser afterwards. Just injuries just mounting up a little bit again. Obviously, we've got the international break now. Hopefully, we can ease that. I mean, we have Reece James might have a little injury today, but hopefully that's just I think it's, are England just playing for, I mean, I'm so uneducated in England. Are England just playing friendlies or is it actually qualifiers?
It's one friendly and one qualifier, I think.
I mean, the
apathy towards these games is just absolutely crazy, isn't it? Has anyone got any intention of watching these?
Yeah, it's like, and next year, actually, just a bit of a side note, I think they're going to, they're combining the autumn international breaks, I think. I think there's going to be a month of them, I think. I think that's what they're going to do, which I think is better. What do you think about that, boys? Do you think that's better or combining them?
Maybe, like you, I'm very rarely watching these qualifiers and friendlies anyway. Yeah, maybe it's better. I think there's usually two-week breaks and they're going to have one 3-week break, so it's less time off Premier League, so yeah, I'm happy with that.
It's probably better for the national teams as well. They probably prefer it that way. Have a longer camp.
And also less travelling as well, you know, for these guys all going to South America. It certainly affects Chelsea a lot. We've got a lot of South Americans now that fly for these games. Just to fly once there and back compared to four flights in the space of a month, which is what they're doing now, is much better for them, I think.
I mean, yeah, but my dislike was just being down to the bare bones defensively. I mean, Reece James did really well at centre back and Hatto did well as well, but I mean, got so many centre backs out. I mean, Fofana will be back because he's got a concussion. The concussion protocol will end after the international break and Chalov will be back. And yeah, but we've got loads of injuries. And there was a clip actually where like Hatto like jumped into Palmer celebrating afterwards and Palmer like eventually did, gave him like a screw face and like grabbed his groin. So I'm not sure Palmer's going to be back anytime soon, to be honest. So yeah, just not. Obviously, PSG similarly, have got a lot of injuries, just a lot of Club World Cup tax, and it's a long old season, so it is worrying.
Yeah, my only dislike from the game isn't really like related to the game, but it's just the fact that Mark Yu came on and played, gave us like 15 minutes, I think, of pretty good play up top end of the pitch. It's just the frustration of why he's not been playing recently. I mean, it's just absolutely baffling to me that we've started Tyreek George in a couple of games recently that he could have been playing. And I would love to hear the reasoning. There must be something, whether they were trying to hold out, maybe George could do a job and they'd send Gyu back out on loan because he can't be loaned twice, you know, to other clubs, and Delap's going to be back obviously in a few weeks. But I'd love to hear the thinking. And obviously maybe George has been so poor, and he has, that they just thought, we'll get him out there. But I thought Gyu, just the energy he gives us off the bench, even for that last 10. I just look back at those games against like Brentford, for example, which we obviously conceded right at the end. Just would have loved to see him play in those games. But yeah, never mind. We will never, ever know. Right, let's move on to temperatures because we've got a lot to get through today with temps. And let's start with Chelsea. And me and Brady will do these. So Brady, you can do the honours for Freezer.
It was tough to do a freezer for this game because I think everyone played pretty well. But I think generally you don't really want Malo Gusto in midfield. And I think recently, I don't know if you're listening, boys, that I gave Malo Gusto the death toll. I think I'm done. I think he's done. I'm just not really a fan of him. And seeing him in inverted midfield was not... I wasn't happy with that, to be frank. So yeah, probably Gusto. I mean, he did okay, but yeah, I'm not really...
Gusto. That's absolutely nuts, Freezer, by the way. I thought Gusto was really good.
From an outsider's perspective, it doesn't seem like Gusto has the facilities to play in that inverted role.
Yeah, I agree. It's like in the game he was okay, but if I'm going to put one player in there that I don't really want generally around the team, and in this game it would be Gusto. That's not his fault, but I definitely will cash in this summer if we can, and I've said that before. It's actually been... Well, was he linked with Liverpool last summer? Is that just a myth? Did you say that, Craig?
I thought that they might come after him as a potential replacement for Trent. Because, I mean, in retrospect, it might have been a good idea, to be honest. But I think the issue with Gusto is obviously he's not... Yeah, like Jamie says, all the quality he has is basically like not suited to playing in centre mid at all. Like he's very poor technically. He's probably our worst technical footballer. His passing is horrendous. And that caused his issues in the game a little bit as well. But one thing I did love about him, obviously his work rate up and down the pitch, but also he was just absolutely glued to McAllister the whole game. Like he just stuck to him the whole game. And McAllister had a really poor game. especially in the first half when Gusto was on him. So I think that energy actually did end up being quite helpful for us. And obviously it was his run that took Van Dijk away for the famous, now memed forever probably, blocking pose from Van Dijk for the Caicedo goal. Don't know if you guys have seen any of that, Jamie and Jack.
I've seen the pictures. It's one of them where, like, it's what Van Dijk does, and obviously it works a lot of the time, but the times when it doesn't and it looks a bit stupid, he's gonna get memed for it. But that's,
yeah, I mean, 100%.
It's incredibly effective in general.
Yeah, I 100% agree, and I think it's actually good strategy, obviously, to back off there and let Caicedo shoot. But yeah, like you say, when he puts in the top corner, you're just going to face a barrage of criticism from every pundit because it's the easy, it's the low-hanging fruit. It's like, oh, I've got to close him down. But yeah, Gusto's run actually is obviously the danger. That's the bigger danger there than Caicedo shooting, probably.
He did the same thing in the Champions League final, I think, when we lost 1-0 to Real Madrid. He let them get the cross in, and then Trent got beat at the back stick.
But he also did it against Spurs, I think, and he was 2-1, and it was ages ago. It might have been someone like Sissoko, and then maybe there was Son or Kane running with him, and he just let Sissoko go and just marked the dangerous striker, and Sissoko took a really bad shot with his left foot, and all the media around that was like, he's a genius for doing that. No other defender does that. But yeah, occasionally when it doesn't work.
Yeah, like people are desperate to change. Like opposition fans are desperate to tear Van Dijk down at the minute. They seem to be trying to push this narrative that he's a selfish defender doing stuff like that. But I just don't
know. If anything, it's the opposite. I think it's that's one for the team, isn't it? That looks bad on TV when they get when they score, the person carrying the ball, like it looks bad on you. But I think that is the best thing for the team.
I do always laugh every time the video comes up on Twitter of the one where the ball against Man United and the ball breaks loose to Bruno and Van Dijk starts backing off, ready for his 1v1, and then Bruno just shoots from 50 yards instead. The biggest crook in football, Bruno, they always say on the video. You gotta laugh at that.
Yeah. I'll offer it around if Jamie and Jack have got anyone that you thought played particularly poorly for Chelsea. Probably not.
No one to add, really.
Yeah. I think I had no Fraser.
Ineffective. Neto, I feel, it was commented, it can be a bit ineffective sometimes. I wouldn't say he played poorly, but
No. Well, be careful, mate, having a go at Neto in this pod. I tell you, get police by
Neto obviously is a little bit of a fan favourite in the sense that he is a very hard-working player. So when you go to the games, he's someone that's noticeably very into the game, very passionate and works hard. And obviously fans do tend to get behind that. Yeah, so let's do warming up for Chelsea. Brady?
I mean, you could have had loads. I mean, it's almost like special mentions. There's so many. To put it down to one would be tough. I'm going to go Badia Shield.
Yeah, he was mine as well.
There's loads, though. But yeah, I mean, much improved. Hopefully, injury isn't too bad. I'll keep it brief. But yeah, I mean, we've obviously, Maresca's commented that we haven't really got anyone with Colwell injured, that we haven't got that passing out the back. I think he could provide that. He can be very shaky defensively and awareness-wise. He can look a little aloof, let's say. But yeah, on the ball, he can really pick a pass, and he was much better in this game. And the last two games, he's been really good. And I hope the injury isn't too bad, because it's just nice to have a left-footed centre-back back there to kind of replace Colwell in that sense. And Hatto did well, but I've been really happy about Ishiel recently.
Yeah, obviously, before the game, I really had I sort of maybe a bit pathetically, retrospectively, said that, Chelsea might be in trouble in this game with the players out, and Jack obviously pointed out that Badishil is it £40 million player? I think it's 40.
I stood up when I said that. I think he was about 34.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I've sort of, obviously in our heads as fans, we sort of write these players off, some of them quite prematurely, but also Badishil has been shocking, basically for us, in for a lot of his appearances. But he is poor defensively. But luckily, really, Liverpool didn't really test us too much defensively in this game when he was on, certainly. And yeah, he looked really accomplished on the ball. He had a really, really strong game. Very, very impressive. And yeah, got to give him some credit because I do like to rip into him when he has a bad game. And that's back-to-back games, really, that he's been really good. He was really good against Benfica as well. So, yeah.
A few more, there might be another apology coming your way.
Yeah, although that is a bit of a curse, as it's proof for Trevor Chalobah. The other notable that I was going to say for warming up, if we haven't talked about Badashil, was Reece James, who I just want to give him a special mention for playing a lot of different positions, ending up at centre-back, playing alongside Gerald Hatto, who's obviously a left-back mostly, although he has played centre-back, but a young player, certainly has never played centre-back in the Prem before. And that was very much a makeshift centre-back partnership. Probably the most makeshift centre-back partnership we've ever had, that I can think of. Certainly in a big game. And yeah, thought they want to give a big shout-out to Reece, who's been, you know, outstanding this season, but just did an incredible job for us. And one thing you notice when he's playing at centre-back is, obviously, his passing is just unbelievable. And there was one pass that he sprayed out to Gittens, which was like a low, like a daisy cutter. It was like a 60-yard daisy cutter. It was absolutely unbelievable pass. And yeah, his passing range is on full display against that Liverpool press when he's playing at centre-back, so it's really good to see.
From a opposition fan perspective, is Reece James, is it going to help him, the fact that, you know, the new manager, well, not new anymore, but compared to his previous managers, his role has changed. He's presumably is less dynamic now than he used to be, I'm guessing. Yeah. I don't know the stats, but I presume he covers a lot less ground in a game than he probably once did. So I'm assuming you're hoping you're going to get a lot more game time out of him. He can kind of protect his body a bit more.
Yeah,
I mean, they've done an unbelievable job with him since Maresca came in, really, in terms of protecting him. I know, much to Brady's chagrin, he was moaning at him not starting a few games at the end of last season, but they've really done a good job of resting him when he needs it, when obviously the physical load is too much. They've really listened to the medical advice, and obviously he's been fit now for, obviously not including this injury that maybe he's picked up in this Liverpool game, although I think it is just him trying to get off the England friendlies, hopefully. He started both games. you know, he's been fit for 10 months, so they've managed him really well. It's the most time he's been fit for, you know, 5 years. So I think, yeah, like you say, the management of his role, he's certainly not providing the width on that right side. And when you provide the width on that right side, like we did under Tuchel, you have to do that full sprint back. He doesn't do any of those anymore, which is really nice for him. Right, boiling hot, Brady, and then let's move on to Liverpool.
I mean, boiling hot is Moises Caicedo. I mean, it's every week, but I mean, it's... He added a worldy goal this time. He's only got 3 goals in his last 3 seasons before this. Now he's got 3 goals in whatever many games. I mean, I think he's like second highest point scorer in FPL or something, like in the midfielders, I think. DEFCON monster, and just, I mean, actually, but you can say this, Craig, because you were next to me. Like, before the goal, I was just like, it's just a pleasure watching him live. Like, there's, when you watch players like Hazard and just like proper like elite players at Chelsea that come through the door sometimes, James sometimes when he's on it, it's just a pleasure to watch him live. And he's just a really, really good player. And I think he's really quite easily our most important player now, especially with Palmer being injured. So, yeah, I mean, you run out of words to say for him really as a Chelsea fan, but he's been, I mean, even Gary Neville said he's like the best midfielder in the league now. Even the media are starting to pick it up, but he's been very good for a very long time, and I'm sure he'll continue to be so.
Yeah, just a fancy related, obviously you mentioned DEFCON. He's at 96 defensive contributions this season in 7 games. One of the nice things about adding DEFCON to FPL is that some of these players that would have not got any fancy accolades, and obviously coming along with that, people that purely play fantasy, not really any recognition. I think you can really see this season, because people track defensive contributions a bit more. I mean, Caicedo had 23 against Fulham at home. and 17 against Brentford away in the next game. I mean, he's just an absolute monster on the pitch. And yeah, you can see that with the eye test as well. Well, obviously, as Chelsea fans, we're heavily hyped on Caicedo. What's the outsider view on Moises Caicedo?
He's elite. He was pretty good. Yeah. We were linked for like 2 days with him. I don't know what, but yeah, we didn't get him, didn't work out. And if he carries on like this season, and adding, you know, just a few goals as a DM, he probably will be the best in the league. Like Rodri is obviously the other one, and the one thing he had over Caicedo was he would chip in with a few goals. And if Caicedo adds that, then yeah, he really does have everything.
I think he's superb, and I think in a broader sense, just Chelsea are just viewed as so strong in the middle of the park currently. Because you put, like, I rate Enzo Fernandez highly as well. So with the two of them, it's, yeah, very strong.
Yeah, and obviously Lavia came on in this game as well, who is, we, you know, I think very highly rated from a fan perspective as well. Obviously, he's not really played any minutes for us. In fact, that's probably one of only about five games that Fernandez, Caicedo and Lavia have played together in three seasons or two and a half seasons, which is kind of nuts. But yeah, I think if you're breaking down the game tactically, certainly midfield, we were just completely dominant in the game, which is weird because when Liverpool came into the, I saw their lineup, I was like, oh, they've dropped Wirtz and they've gone back to last season's McAllister, Szoboszlai, Gravenberch, which is really hard working, really tough. And that'll be, you know, really tough for Gusto to compete even with Caicedo and Enzo in there. But yeah, it was the opposite. I thought we were really strong in midfield in the game. And yeah, Gravenberch and McAllister both had pretty poor games. Speaking of which, a nice transition into Freezer. Jack, you can go first, or in fact, just both give the names of who your Liverpool Freezer would be, starting with you, Jack.
Mine would be Connor Bradley.
And mine would be Mo Salah.
Yeah, I think let's start with you, Jamie, because I think Salah's an interesting conversation overall as well.
So, yeah, it feels horrible, to be honest, putting Mo Salah in the freezer. But there's a lot wrong there currently. So first off, we don't have another option who plays on that side, really. So he's forced to play every game. I mean, yeah, forced. He's up until a few games ago, he'd been deserving to play every game. But at the minute, obviously, he doesn't quite have that yard of pace anymore. So he's way less dynamic. He doesn't make the same runs as he used to. He generally hugs the touchline. And it wasn't too dissimilar last season, but he was making so many goal contributions by what's become quite a bit of a trademark Salah thing. The first time ball, either with the outside of his boot as a far post cross or like just in behind the defence. And he was picking up a lot of assists from probably pretty low expected assists. And he was still scoring plenty of goals because his finishing was so good. But now he's not doing that. He's not really affecting the game in any way currently. And the system is kind of breaking down because now we have, historically, we've always had dynamic wingers. So we had Salah and Mane making all the runs and then a kind of a deeper lying striker. And now we have a striker who probably should make runs and the wingers are not really of the same mold anymore. And it's just not really working currently. We don't look like we didn't. I know we had 1.94 XG apparently compared to your one, but it didn't feel like that at all. It didn't feel like we were very dangerous.
I think they gave a really high XG to that Szoboszlai chance in the first half. Obviously, Badia Shield blocked it. And then the goal, they gave a massively high XG to as well. But yeah, no, I agree. Obviously, watching the game, you didn't really feel like Liverpool created a lot of chances. But certainly, they did have a lot of opportunity. Mo Salah was on the ball a lot on that right-hand side, especially in the second half. They did a much better job getting him the ball. But yeah, there's just something, that fear factor with Salah has gone a little bit this season, where just he struggled a little bit. Kukurea did quite well against him in the first half, but even the times that he did cut in and you're like, oh, he's going to shoot, I think you don't feel that it's quite as devastating as it used to be. And obviously part of that is that, you know, age comes for everyone, and he's 33 now, you know, going to 34. There's not many players that play beyond 34 at the top level. And you know, Slot has given him obviously the reign of like no defensive duties really whatsoever. But then I don't think Isak I would consider a massively hard working off the ball player. And Gakpo as well, I don't know, like it seems to be, I don't, you can get by carrying one player defensively if you've got like Luis Diaz and Jota and Firmino and Mane, or like really hard working players next to them. But I think if you're going to give them Gakpo and Isak to go with Salah, I just don't know if that is as balanced as maybe it should be. What do you think, Jack?
I think you're doing maybe Gakpo a little bit of a disservice there. I think he does offer something.
Do you think he's like a pure winger though, Gakpo? He's a bit of a strange like profile for a left wing for me.
Yeah, I agree, but I think he's more effective than he looks. He isn't like good on the eye, but he's actually quite effective. He's quite unpopular with Liverpool fans on X.
Really?
Yeah, they've been asking for him to be dropped and try everybody else out there, basically. But I think he's done okay. He comes out quite high on chances created type metrics, and he scores some goals. So I think he's fine. He's done all right. He's like, obviously not anywhere near the best left winger in the league, but we do lose something from not having Diaz. But a lot of the last season, Gakpo did play on the left, and Diaz was playing more as a false nine. So it's not that new.
The area, though, that I think Diaz, like with his work rate and energy, I think that is really important. And yeah, obviously that has been lost. Like none of the forwards that Liverpool have now, I would consider to be, even like Wirtz obviously came on, you know, he's sort of a midfielder, but massively energetic and hugely hardworking players, or like offering like a massive defensive presence as well. So yeah, I don't know. The balance seems a little bit off there, but any long-term concerns about Salah for you, Jack?
Not Salah. I think something that maybe Liverpool fans just don't want to talk about or admit is that we're really missing Trent. Like Salah is, and the team is, like the supply line down that side's not gone, but we've lost a lot of creativity, and they obviously had quite a good relationship. So he's still getting the ball out there sometimes, but it's in less dangerous positions. The ball progression has just not been as good. Obviously there are some concerns long term with Salah. Like I think every Liverpool fan knew this day would come where he would drop off. He's getting old. Like, it's incredible that he's stayed at this level for this long, really. Like,
yeah,
this has been predicted by opposition fans and Liverpool fans probably as well for, you know, the last three seasons, maybe. Every single time he has three or four bad games in a row, people are writing him off like, that's it, he's finished. And then, you know, he'll just go on an unbelievable run. So that could still happen again. He's not written off yet, but we are even really getting glimpses of it so far this season. Just not really anything. The game against Atletico in the Champions League was kind of his only really good performance this season. Apart from that, yeah, he's just not affecting games. And like Jamie said, we haven't really got many other options on that side. So Slot seemed to maybe just think Frimpong's going to cover there when needed. Maybe we should have been signing somebody to take over long term.
I don't think anything will change this season in terms of his role or the thinking. I heard Wayne Rooney digging Salah out today, saying that he needs to help his fullback out. But like that, I don't think that's going to be a particularly good idea. Like Salah, presumably at this age, needs to conserve his energy, and we need him in certain areas of the pitch. Like I don't think it's going to do the team as a whole much of a favour of Salah's doubling up with Conor Bradley on someone's winger. So I think, as Jack says, I think come the end of the season, Salah will probably, you know, have, I don't know, 20, 25 to 30 plus goal involvements over the
yeah
the course of the Premier League season. So yeah, there's not like massive cause for concern, but at the minute, yeah, he's in the freezer.
I would say it's going to be like, it's been done, like, he's, you know, we're joking, he's washed. I think it'll just be a slow decline, like G/A-wise and influence-wise. And yeah, I think it's always a problem when, even for a player like Salah, who's elite, when you haven't got a backup, not that he's getting lazy, but I mean, even last year, like, probably doesn't apply to Salah, but he was on that contract year. That contract year was a thing. When you're playing for your new contract, you're just going to play out your skin. I don't know whether he's signed a new contract, he's a bit more comfortable, or maybe Liverpool, when they won the league, they got, I don't want to say cocky, but maybe a bit comfortable, maybe assuming they're going to, I mean, obviously they won five on the bounce, but maybe that's why generally the performance has dipped off. But I agree with Jack. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Trent has left and he's dipped. So it's probably just like a combination of loads of little factors. But I think he could prove everyone wrong, just have another superstar season. But because I think last year he didn't start that great, right? Or maybe, he usually starts really well, but he didn't really get going for a little while. But yeah, I think he'll just slowly decline rather than like really, you know, like blow out or anything.
Yeah. Well, I think, I know we've talked about Salah for a long time, so I know we don't want to talk about it anymore. But the I think an interesting point with Salah is, so certain players, you know, Salah's attributes throughout the most of his career have been obviously his pace, his acceleration.
Yeah.
As you get older, you have to adapt. A lot of players can't, and certain players, you know, when they get older, when they're as good as someone like Messi, can like change the way he plays and still affect the game really well. You would have never thought Salah could be able to do that, but last season he managed to do that. But I think he probably outperformed on paper the performances he was actually putting in. Like,
yeah,
there was a lot of games where he really didn't do much, and then he'd come out of the game with 2 goals and an assist somehow, but without really featuring. And I think he was getting lauded for that, when in actual fact, maybe, you know, there was an element of him just running quite hot. And this is probably, this type of season might be more reflective of kind of where he's at due to his age.
I mean, hopefully not exactly this type of season, because I don't know, he's obviously got 2 goals in 7 games. But yeah, I know what you mean. Obviously, I think he was certainly running massively hot last year. Obviously, we're still on Liverpool's freezer, but we probably won't have a boiling hot section for Liverpool. But I did want to mention one player, because maybe you guys can correct me on this, as a casual fan or casual watcher of Liverpool. But Alexis McAllister is in the freezer for me, for Liverpool. I think slightly overrated player for me. And maybe just the games I've watched of Liverpool, he's not been particularly effective. I don't know, what are your guys' thoughts on McAllister? I know even just recently, obviously, you guys have been, you know, not playing at a massively high level for a few games now. You know, I look back at that Everton game, and he was quite poor in that game as well, getting bashed up in midfield by Idrissa Gueye and James Garner and Dewsbury Hall. What's the overall feeling on Alexis McAllister?
He was fantastic last season. He has had a really poor start to this season. I'm not quite sure of the reason, but there's not really any concern there. I think he'll get it back. It's just a little dip in form, and it's one of them things where we've got a few players having that dip around the same time, and it's affecting the whole team. You can't carry everyone, but I think Alexis McAllister's top class midfielder. There's no concerns really. He'll get back.
I think to address your point of him being overrated, I can understand why you say that. I think he's not overrated by Liverpool fans, because he's the type of player that he does so much good stuff in a game, but perhaps not the type of stuff always that would make a highlight
reel.
So I can certainly understand why you think he might be overrated, but especially last season, he was so important, doing all the type, like, tempo, very hard working, great passer. So yeah,
Yeah, fair enough. Let's talk about Jack's freezer as well, because we didn't mention that. Bradley had a rough first half. The right back spot's really interesting for Liverpool. You know, Trent's gone. They're obviously sort of struggling to find a continuous replacement. We know Bradley's obviously was given a chance. That was a chance really maybe to solidify that spot. Frimpong's been sort of, you know, a little bit disappointing probably. Szoboszlai's been playing there. Jamie, what's your thoughts on Liverpool's right back situation?
Well, when I've always been a very big fan of Bradley, even when Trent, you know, when it was known Trent was leaving, I was like very comfortable thinking, oh, we can just let Bradley like take the reins. But I don't know, I probably don't think that currently. I don't know whether that's recency bias of his current form and immediate recency bias of the game of the weekend. I don't know. Frimpong obviously hasn't quite settled, hasn't looked great. I think there's a he looks very much like a guy in a new team. Like, he's just, there's been a lot of misplaced passes. Like,
is he a right back for Frimpong?
Well, allegedly, yeah. Like, but he's, yeah, a very, very, very attacking one. But yeah, that's where we have brought him to play. But yeah, he's obviously meant to be more comfortable very high up the pitch, but he hasn't particularly shown that as of yet.
What do you think about Bradley, Jack? You put him in the freezer. So why did you put him in? I mean, obviously he wasn't great, but do you have like any long term concerns?
Or just that game, it looked like the occasion just got to him. He was a bit hot headed, all over the place, and obviously, yeah, he got a yellow. Could have possibly had another, and he got hooked earlier. Which was no surprise. It is concerning that this season our best right back has been Dominic Szoboszlai. Like, we've got two on paper good right backs, but he keeps moving Szoboszlai there. It made some sense on Saturday, obviously chasing the game, but we've got two out of form players in Frimpong and Bradley, and it's not doing them any good long term if we keep putting Szoboszlai there. And the reason, part of the reason he's moving there is to accommodate Wirtz in midfield. It's, I don't know, I just don't like square pegs in round holes.
Even though he
has done well there, Szoboszlai, but he's been doing well. He's been doing much better than Wirtz, you know, in the 10 or in midfield. So it feels like he's moving him to right back sometimes just so he can get Wirtz on, because we spent all this money and he needed to get him on. And that's taking game time away from Bradley and Frimpong if we want them to play into some form.
Yeah, I think it was always going to be really hard to replace Trent. You know, the profile, not just because of the how good he is, but it's the profile of player he is as well. He's providing quite a unique skill set at right back that isn't really replicated anywhere in the world. There's not really a player that can do that you would think of. So, yeah, it Frimpong for me was a bit of a strange pickup, in that he's sort of a right wing back in a 3-4-3 setup, and also doesn't strike me as someone who's massively suited to the Premier League. And then also you're replacing Trent, who's a great passer, with someone like Frimpong, who's more of a runner and sort of an athlete as opposed to sort of technical ability. So yeah, I don't know quite what the thought was there in terms of how they were going to build that right wing position, and maybe especially with Salah ahead, who just sort of stays up there. Yeah, I mean, there's lots to... Liverpool's like obviously a fascinating team right now. Just because of how good they were last season, they've changed a lot, and they've ended up, you know, really, they're quite fortunate to have as many points as they've had. You know, they've not been really good, and obviously this loss is just three losses in a week, just doesn't really happen to Liverpool or Slot as a manager. I think that's the first time in his managerial career he's had three losses in a row. The last player we'll talk about for Liverpool, not in anyone's freezers. Brady, we'll let you do some talking on this player. Florian Wirtz, what's your opinion on him? Nine games in, I think, now to his Liverpool career.
You throwing me a doozy there. Yeah, I mean, Wirtz, is it the Bundesliga tax or... It's difficult. I don't know. He looked like a real fit, like literally socks down flair player. And I don't know, maybe I've seen that maybe physically he's not getting about. Maybe he's just not competing enough. But there's clearly a lot of talent. But it's pretty clear when you come from the Bundesliga that... And you come to... It doesn't feel like Havertz, but it feels a little bit like that, maybe. When you come to the Premier League, it is such a cliche, but the step up in physicality and intensity is obviously just insane. Probably even less than we realise. And clearly a really good player there. I mean, that flick he did for Salah, I mean, I assume he meant that where the first, I think it was his first touch in the game. Incredible talent. I mean, I've seen him, I mean, to be honest, I mainly watched him play for Germany, actually, because I had him in my fantasy team in Euro 2024, and he's like, yeah, quality player, but I don't know. Huge price tag, and it can develop, right? Like it happens. Like the more games that go by, there's more pressure on the goal when he's snatching at things. So I don't know. What do you guys think of with Wirtz?
I mean, I just don't think. I think he is like a very good player. I don't think he was worth what his price tag is, but I still think he is one of the biggest talents around. I don't think we're getting the best out of him currently. Maybe he's still just finding his feet. Like I'm certainly not writing him off. You need to be patient, but he's not. He's clearly not getting on the ball in the right positions enough. That's why he's not picking up any goals and assists. But although he is creating chances. So he probably is unlucky to be on the 009 or whatever it is, but.
about James Bond.
Yeah, no, it's come. Yeah, but
everyone's so excited about that when he gets there, like the sweat for the game. Oh. So they can post a picture of him in the James Bond, the Golden Eye.
I know. I don't know where I hate that the 007 thing. I don't know where it's come from. I don't know who the first player was to do it.
It was Jadon Sancho, I think, when he went to United. Yeah, it was so good. And obviously since then, it's just taken off. It's like, if you go seven games, yeah, it is good. I've got to say, like, obviously it's awful, but it is quite funny.
Yeah.
Jack, where's your panic meter at for Florian Wirtz?
Like five games or so. There was no panic at all. I felt like he was getting in good positions, but he just wasn't quite getting found, or he just wasn't on the same wavelength as players, and it would come. Since then, he's obviously been benched a couple of times, and now his confidence doesn't quite look right. So there is a tiny bit of panic there. It's one of those though where it's just all about the price tag, isn't it? Like everybody... Like if he'd come in at, you know, 30 million, we wouldn't be having these conversations. Just the expectancies, obviously.
Well, he wouldn't
there.
Be getting a minute, I don't think, if he'd come in for 30 million. That's the thing. I don't think he'd be playing much.
Yeah, that could be true. The performances aren't there, but it's a team thing as well. Like everyone's not playing well around him. So, and what he needs is. We need to just have an easy home fixture where we can.
I was just about to say Burnley at home. Sounds like a good time.
But they're few and far between in the Premier League these days. There's too many good teams.
Yeah. I think what I think always when players are struggling to adapt is I want to see some flashes. You know, I want to see something like. And he did flash that one touch for Salah, which is obviously really good. And we know, obviously, from the games he's played for Germany and for Leverkusen that he's. You know, he's got those moments in him. We just haven't seen them in the Premier League at all. It's obviously, I think, from a Liverpool fan point of view, probably slightly worrying that a player that, you know, we're expecting to come in and, you know, to have no goal contributions at all, you know, heading into the second international break. I don't think you'd have been shocked if I'd have told you that was true at the start of the season. So, yeah, I think there is. I think, yeah, definitely. I would say a little bit more than five, maybe six, seven with Wirtz as a panic meter, because I think Liverpool have got United at home next, which is, you know, to be honest, these days about as easy a game as you can get in the Premier League.
Salah banker. Salah always scores against Man United. That's the comeback.
That's your next home game, right? Or the next game in the Premier League.
Yeah, that's the next one.
Yeah, United at home. So I think he's got to start that game. I think I'd be on the phone to whoever the Germany coach is. Don't know who it is these days. And saying, hey, can you give him a little rest in that second game and just have him nice and fresh for that United home game and see if they can get him going? Because I think, like Jack says, I think he could really do with like a nice home game where he gets a lot of the ball in that last third and he can get a goal or assist to sort of get him going. Right, we spent a lot of time on Liverpool's freezer and talking about a couple of players. Let's have a quick chat. I assume there's no one in Boiling Hot, but let's have a quick chat if you want to say anyone in warming up, anyone you want to talk about that maybe is playing well or better than people think at the moment. Go with you, Jack, first, and Jamie straight after. Anyone you want to say?
On the game itself, Jamie already mentioned earlier, I was gonna mention Mamardashvili.
Jamie?
Season.
I don't think from the warming up from the game itself that there is no one other than Mamardashvili. Really. No one. I don't think anyone else.
I would say from a fan, obviously it was down my end as well. Izak's touch for the goal.
Did he mean that? Or what?
I'm not sure he meant it.
I think he meant that. I 100% thought he did. Maybe not. He didn't see Gakpo exactly where he was or whatever. He definitely meant to flick it on to in that area, and it was really good. I think that was a flash from Izak. Of obviously we know Izak's going to be good. Now, the concern on Wirtz is you know, will he settle in the Prem? It might take him a bit of time. Whatever. We know Izak's going to score a lot of goals for Liverpool. That is for absolute certain. We know that he's so good, and that was just one flash of quality from him in a game where Liverpool really were struggling to create much at that time, especially. I guess that would be my warming up moment for them. But yeah, let's talk about quickly the goalkeeper. Jamie, you can go first.
Yeah, I mean he looked solid enough. Alisson is so important to us, and we've been lucky over the years. Klopp always used to call Kelleher the best number two. I actually was never. I always thought Kelleher was very good, but I never felt fully safe with him in goal. I don't know why. I don't know whether it was his presence or something. He was a great shot stopper, but he didn't feel like he was really commanding and comfortable. But I feel Mamardashvili does come across as that. So it's nice because Alisson does get injured every now and again. He doesn't play every game, so it is important for us to have a decent number two.
Also, Alisson's age right now, he's 33. He's probably not got so many years left in him. So this could be, I mean, obviously they're intending it to be the grooming of the next goalkeeper, but if he's good, then it's a nice transition because he's only 25.
Yeah, for sure. Alisson, yeah, I guess probably one or two more years after this. I assume as a long-term signing, and yeah, looks decent enough so far.
Jack, anything to add?
Well, yeah, so a big game to come into, and he just looked assured. It's just obviously nice to have a really reliable backup goalkeeper. That's probably, we've only seen him once or twice, but I imagine he would get into most teams in the Premier League. Like, it's just very reassuring to have a backup like that. We've obviously had one before who's left for first team football. It's absolutely fair enough. And with Mamardash, with Kelleher, we never expected him to, you know, be a long term successor to Alisson, I don't think, even though he's good, but maybe Mamardash really could be. As Alisson gets a bit older, maybe he'll decline, or maybe he'll just want to move on. It looks like there's the potential there for him to eventually become number one. Who knows?
Yep, certainly an assured debut for sure. All right, let's move to going round the grounds. So, new section of the pod starting this year, where we go through just all the Premier League fixtures from game week 7, and just give a few words on each one. Let's start with the Friday night game, which was Bournemouth 3, Fulham 1, Semenyo, FPL Dreamland. We'll start with you, Brady, and go to Jack and Jamie and do that order for all of them.
Yeah, I mean, Semenyo, I should have kept him in FPL and Chelsea should have bought him. Fulham, weirdly leaky at the moment. They're usually pretty solid, but I think they've conceded 6 in 2 games, so a bit worrying for Fulham.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was really surprised nobody went for Semenyo in the summer. A lot of teams were looking for wingers. He didn't really get linked. He just was overlooked. So, yeah, he's kicking on, and I'm sure someone's going to spend big money on him next summer now.
I was just completely rattled by this game because I owned Semenyo in FPL for basically the whole of last season. And honestly, just used to get booked every week and not do anything. And then I've decided to not have him this year off the back of that. And he's just killing me. So, yeah, I refused to watch the game and was just like seeing the updates come via live scores. And I was just absolutely fuming.
That's absolute family Friday night ruin there. That's poor.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you guys probably hasn't been mentioned before, but we have a draft Premier League as well, and that is the extra pain as well for the people that don't have him in. Is I captain the league? I do.
Oh, of course you do, Chirpy.
Captain Semenyo on Friday night. Sit down, nice beer, watch the Friday night football. Captain Semenyo, yeah, worked out all right actually.
Fuming elsewhere.
All right, Leeds Tottenham. Leeds 1, Tottenham 2. That was the 12:30 game on Saturday. Brady?
Yeah, I mean, Spurs are just becoming a much tougher team to beat, aren't they? Even when they're going 2-0 down in games. I think they went 2-0 down to Brighton recently and 2-0 to Bodo Glimt, and they still got it back to 2-2. They don't look brilliant. I mean, and Simmons hasn't really done anything. I don't think Chelsea missed much there, but just much more solid under Frank, and they look a decent team. I think they could really compete for top 4 this year, to be honest.
They've been a bit hit and miss so far, but generally pretty solid. The squad looks solid, good now. Like, they've added quite a few good players. So, yeah, I expect them to be in the hunt, certainly, for top 4.
Yeah, this was my kind of my favourite bet of the weekend, or the price that stood out best to me when I looked through the price of the games. Tottenham, it was kind of an even money game between them and Leeds. And I just fully expected Tottenham to go there and win, which says something, because obviously you wouldn't have really thought that over recent times with Tottenham. They can be very Spursy, but I did kind of expect them to go there and win, and that's what they did.
Yeah, I'm a big Thomas Frank fan. I really think he's a great coach. And yeah, like Brady says, straight from the start, Spurs are a completely different proposition this year. And we'll talk about where Spurs' manager have gone and what sort of a proposition they are later on. Right, Arsenal 2, West Ham 0.
Yeah,
about as straightforward as it gets.
I mean, they look ominously solid, don't they? 2-0 at home. I mean, that West Ham's a game that they've chipped over recently as well in recent seasons. And I hate to say it, there just seems to be a bit of a different energy about them. Maybe they're going to get over the line this time, but still a long way to go.
See much of this one, but about the result surprises me. It just looks like got the job done, which is what Arsenal seem to be doing so far this season. Right now they're the favourites, and rightly so. Just got to hope they don't get too far ahead before we find some form again.
Yeah, absolute business as usual really there. Probably the kind of result everyone expected. And
if you had to get predict a result for that game, it'd be like 2-0, 3-0. Like, just 2-0 would be like the most predicted result, probably.
Yeah, exactly. The game just went exactly how you'd expect it to, just from start to finish. Probably the only worry Arsenal fans have is like Gyökeres not really doing a whole lot currently.
Yeah. I think like Brady said as well, it's a bit ominous. I think it's looking like Arsenal are looking very strong. I think as well, because of the way their squad's set up, injury is not going to affect them much this season, not like it did last season. I don't know, it's such a horrible thing to think about them winning the league, but yeah, I think it's looking possible. All right, Man United 2, Sunderland 0. We don't have to spend much time. One word, if you can, on this.
I mean, Amorim just kicks the sacking can down the road another week, I think. I think it'd be gone soon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that it keeps Amorim in a job for another couple of months.
That's not a guarantee, but yeah, a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, I honestly go into most games kind of expecting Man United to lose. So I was almost surprised that they just comfortably won this game, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it is coming to the end of the road, fan room. I think it's not worked at all. Chelsea, obviously, the 5:30 game, talked about that. Aston Villa 2, Burnley 1. Home win for Villa.
Yeah, I mean, Villa still don't look right, though. They just kind of barely got over the line here. I mean, the 2-0 up and then Burnley scored and then they were pressuring them. And yeah, I had double Villa in an FPL and that didn't go very well, to be honest. I jumped off Watkins before he scored as well, so absolute nightmare. But yeah, they don't look right. There's something up there. I'm not sure whether Emery's just not getting through to him or something, but yeah, something odd's going on there.
I think they'll turn it around, personally. I just think Emery's such a good coach. Still a decent squad. They maybe won't get back to, you know, Champions League levels where they were a couple of years ago, but I still expect them to get it sorted and challenge for Europa League places.
Yeah, I certainly don't think they will. There's no way they get in the Champions League. They might possibly end up doing a bit of a down in tools in the league and going for the Europa League. That's why might open up for them this season.
Europa League specialist.
Emery's competent. So.
You can see it, can't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Morgan Rogers with a good game in that game. My prediction is that Villa finish eighth and out of Europe and they need to sell for FFP and Morgan Rogers goes to Chelsea. That's my prediction for next
summer. You ain't looking too tasty at the moment, mate. Don't
Everton 2, Crystal Palace 1. 93rd minute winner for Jack Grealish at the Hill Dickinson.
Yeah, I mean, such a weird name. I mean, Palace finally beaten. They were like 18 games unbeaten, mental. Finally beaten the last minute. So yeah, I think I said to Jack, me and Jack talk about FPL quite a bit. I think Europe will catch up with Palace quite a bit, and they landed away trip. I think it was Kiev or something like that, but. Yeah, I mean, I think Palace are a really good team, but when you play 3 games a week, it will just catch up with like a thin squad.
Great to see Jack Grealish back. Just enjoying playing football again, though.
Yeah.
Like, not handcuffed by Pep's system and just having a bit of a free reign. It's just nice to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't say this as a Liverpool fan, but like, the rivalry aside, I actually quite like Everton's team. I feel like they've got a little bit of a throwback team. They're like probably less of a, I know Moyes is like a very pragmatic coach, but they're like, you know, they're less of just like a young manager like system team, which I guess is what Palace are a little bit. And they've got some players I like, Grealish and Dye I like.
Yeah, and Dye's so good, by the way. He could play for a much better team.
I call them Socks Down FC because they've all got the socks down. Grealish, Ndai, and Drewsby Hall.
Tarkowski and Keane at the back can't be having the socks down.
No, that's true. Really up above the knees. That's true.
They're absolutely business at the back and party up top, really, aren't they?
Newcastle 2, Nottingham Forest 0.
I mean, yeah, no, Postecoglou in big trouble, and yeah, I don't know. Newcastle
3.45 XG for Newcastle and 0.3 for Forest.
Yeah, I mean,
it's rough. Yeah, very rough.
I mean, we've got a Forest mutual friend Ben, who's a Forest fan, and he just says that the fans are all over him. So, you know, we've got him next, so we'll probably save his job as we send to save managers' jobs. But yeah, I think he's in trouble long term, and yeah, Newcastle just getting a. Ticking along, starting to pick up wins. They're a really solid team, obviously. So, yeah.
for the club. It was a terrible move for Ange. Like, nothing worked about it. The team was set up in Nuno's way, and it worked very well. And then just bring in a coach that wants to do the exact opposite of that with those same players, like, it's just absolutely never going to work. And it's probably not going to last very long. And they'll have to employ another pragmatic coach to try and steady the ship, and wish they had Nuno back.
Other guys love Pulis. Save him. I'm most interested in what, I wonder what the owner's going to do, because he obviously stuck his neck out doing what he did, hiring him in the first place. So now does he, you know, he's definitely got it in him to just pull the trigger, get rid. But he'll also want to be proven right for his decision. So, like, he's gonna really want him to turn it around so that it can be like, yeah, look, it was a good decision getting rid of Nuno. But
you need to be careful, though, doing that in the Prem, because all the other teams, like Jack mentioned earlier, like, all the teams are good these days. Like, you need to be careful with your Forest. You don't get dragged into just a relegation battle that you can't get out of. Like, you know, the promoted teams look much better this year than last year. Leeds look much better than any team that got promoted last year. And Sunderland, obviously, I think they're ninth still. Only like 1 point behind Chelsea. Well, no, same points as Chelsea. I mean, Forest need to be very careful that they're not dragged down into a relegation battle.
Well, I think I totally agree, and sounds a bit aftertimery, but I kind of wish I would have put money on this to happen to Forest at the start of the season, because I didn't rate them as high as what their finishing position was last year. I thought they really overachieved, and I definitely thought this could happen even if they had kept Nuno. I think they would have struggled comparatively to last season anyways, and sacking him has just made it even worse.
Yeah, I totally agree. Right, Wolves 1, Brighton 1.
I said to you, Craig, that you said that Brighton are really good. I said they won't win against Wolves next week, and they won. They're just like yo-yo FC. They're destined for like ninth place, Brighton. Just like a mediocre team, basically. So that's what they are. Wolves still winless.
I mean, ninth in the Prem is I would say, is better than mediocre, but yeah, fair enough.
Wolves aren't as bad as
the
points total would suggest. I mean, they're going to struggle because there's not many bad teams, but like, there's enough there that you could see them possibly putting a run together at some point. But yeah, they need to start doing that soon, or they're in trouble.
I just like don't know much about. I feel like I don't know. I feel like I never watch either of these two teams. Like, if I was to put a gun to your head now and say, right, name me six of the Wolves starting 11. Like, I think everyone's like struggling.
Quite easy, because three of them got the same name.
A few Gomez's, I think, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like I can't remember, one of these just said it, that, yeah, Brighton are just mediocre at the minute. And, yeah, I suppose 1-1 in that game is some dope.
All right, lastly, Haaland, captainers, did get a goal at least. Brentford 0, Man City 1.
Yeah, it's nice to see Foden playing quite a lot as well. Get a lot of minutes. Really like Phil Foden. I mean, they're just slowly sneaking into the title race. I'm not saying they're going to be in it, but you know, I think they're only slightly longer odds than Liverpool to actually win the league. And it's ticking along. Got a lot of players to come back. City might be a bit of a dark horse, maybe a bit hopeful because then Arsenal to win the league. But yeah, looking all right, City.
Yeah, job done in this game. Wasn't pretty, but yeah, Haaland just does what he does. And I agree they won't get right into the title race, but they look like they're close to being back. They'll be there or thereabouts, but probably not quite have enough come the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm slightly more pro Man City than the masses at the minute. I think they'll push Arsenal close.
Really?
I think it's because I don't rate Arsenal as high as most people do, because I think they just seem to like not bottle it, but like that I just can't see him doing a Liverpool or City, you know, where they just go like deep into the 90s points. I just can't see them doing that. And then I also think City are just, with Haaland doing what he's doing, I just think they're not going to drop any points versus like the weaker teams. And then, yeah, see what they can get out of the games against Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal. So I just think, yeah, I rate Man City better than most people do, and I don't rate Arsenal as much. So that's probably why I think the gap's slightly closer.
Yeah, I guess I just think Arsenal just kitted out to win every type of game in the Premier League. And that's what you need to be as we go through the season. Like, no variance, like West Ham at home, 2-0. They have like 0.3 XG and you just cakewalk it. You know, City, you know, they're so random, they could draw a home game. Also, I just think, you know, when you look at City's team historically, always like, wow, they've got pretty much the best players going through their team. I think Brentford, they started O'Reilly and Nunez at fullback. I mean, that's weak. That's weaker, probably as weak as it is in the top 10 in the Premier League. You know, you'd rather have Spurs' fullback duo like Porro and Adoghi than that. You know, they're very weak. And then, you know, Oscar Bob and Savinho at wing, I think that's pretty weak as well. I don't agree that City are looking anywhere near the title challengers.
I think you're doing a bit of what Gary Neville does, where he like says Arsenal are going to win the league just so to like appease people. I think you're doing it out of fear. Because then at least if they won the league.
I've made peace with it. Like, I'm making peace with it internally.
Exactly, yeah. You don't really believe it.
Even though you hate it, yeah, at least you can say I told you so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Craig loves that, trust me.
All right, we'll wrap things up since we talked about the title race there with your predicted top four. And then we'll wrap it up. What have you got, Brady? Top four to finish the season? Updated.
Liverpool, Arsenal, City, Chelsea.
Wow, still got Liverpool winning the league.
Jamie's right. He's way too high on Arsenal already. Like, they're just not, you know.
Check the odds, mate. Check the odds.
Yeah, but
Jack?
Arsenal, City, Chelsea. And is that the same as what Brady said?
It is the same as what Brady said. Assuming you cut out for Liverpool, but yeah, Liverpool, Arsenal, City, Chelsea. Is that your?
That's what my head says. Maybe not what my head says.
Jamie,
I feel like I've got to double down a bit, but I'll go. Yeah, I'm not contradicting what I'm saying because I do think it's going to be really close. But so I'll go Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Chelsea. And a word on Chelsea, I think you will be... So last season you were 15 points behind the eventual winners. I think you will be closer than that. And I think you were 3 points ahead of Newcastle last season and the rest. I think you'll be much further ahead than that. I think you're going to massively close the gap on first and extend your... I think you're in a league of your own. Like, you're not as good as the other three sides in the top four, but I think you're noticeably better than the other few in the pack. Tottenham, Villa, Newcastle.
I think that would be a successful season. Closing the gap, bigger points total.
Yeah, that'll definitely be... Well, for most fans, I think, you know, obviously there are some that would think that competing for the league is the only acceptable outcome. But I think, yeah, most fans would be happy with closing the gap on the top. I think if I didn't think Arsenal was so good, I would think that Chelsea still now have a chance to sort of be in the mix after that result. You know, depending on whether Palmers can come back straight after the international break and stuff like that. But yeah, I think if Arsenal aren't as good as I think, I think Jamie will be right in the sense that I think the top four will be, I think it'll be, could be an interesting run in between those top four. Yeah, so I'll go Arsenal first. I'm going to go City second, Chelsea third, and Liverpool fourth.
Oh, he's done it. Unbelievable.
I actually think Liverpool, I think there's a lot broken with their team right now, and I don't think it's a case of just flicking a switch for them. I think they will probably be good by the time like March, April, May rolls round. So if they can keep the points total high, they'll be better than that. But I just don't think it's such an easy fix right now for Slot, even though I think he's like an incredible coach and he will fix it. I just think it might take a few months to get it sorted. And that's not enough to compete with, like, especially Arsenal and City. All right, thanks very much for coming on, guys. Really appreciate it, and we'll probably try and do it the same thing for the Anfield game to give you guys a chance to give us some medicine back. But yeah, thanks very much.
That sounds good. Enjoyed it.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers.
All right. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be, and thanks for listening. Chelsea repeat.